In our first chabur, we laid out sort of the big picture of Bishul Akum in the opening piece of the sugya, both the question of what the mokar and tam for Bishul Akum is. We discussed the Gemara has a havmin that's daraisa. Gemara comes to the conclusion it's drabanim, and according to most Rishonim, that includes Rashi on the Mishnah, though strangely not Rashi in the Gemara, the tam for Bishul Akum is a gezeira mishum chasnus, like so many of the other machali akum that appear in the Mishnah Lamed Hay. And then we saw the first major issue, lahalacha, the first topic in Kuf Yud Gimel also, in Sif Aleph, that was a question of which foods are Bishul Akum sensitive, which foods are vulnerable to Bishul Akum. So we saw two lashonos in the Gemara, Surah and Pumpadiso. In Surah, they said, depends whether the food is edible raw or not, whether it's nechal kamo shuchai. Pumbedisa said it has to do with the final product, the social significance of the final product. It has to be nechal al shulchan malachim. Last time we got involved in a number of the very practical details of both of those, how you define nechal kamo shuchai, how you define al shulchan malachim, and that the Rishonim, prominent among them, Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosis right here, most Rishonim assume, and that's how we assume Halacha L'maaseh Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam and others, that we accept both Shitos, that we see Pumpedisa as being Mosif on Surah. So not only if it's edible raw, it's not Bishul Akum sensitive, but even if it's not edible raw, but if it's not Shulchan Aruch, it's still not Bishul Akum sensitive. So L'maaseh, the only foods that are Bishul Akum sensitive are foods that meet both conditions of Hachmer. If on the one hand, before it was the Nachri cooked it, it was inedible. And on the other hand, by the time the Nachri is done, not only is it edible, but it's even socially significant, it's all Shulchan Malachim. So then and only then is it a Bishul Akum problem. And we ended off last time that the Bizman Azeh, practically speaking, what it means is that there are basically five categories of food that are Bishul Akum sensitive: meat and fish, eggs, certain vegetables that are not eaten raw, such as eggplant and potato, and grain products. And that, so many pieces of what we just said, brings us to the next sugya, which becomes Sif Beis and then Sif Gimel. So the next piece of the Gemara talks about Dagim Kitanim Meluchim. You have small salty fish, herring, let's say. No Bishul Akum problem. It's already edible as is. It was already salted. We'll get later on in the Siman, Sif Yud Gimel, we'll talk about, let's say a Nachri did the salting. Is Melicha a form of Bishul? They should say Melicha Akum is a problem. Let's leave that aside for now. But you have fish that's kosher and already salted, but raw, it wasn't cooked. The Nachri goes ahead and grills it. Nachri fries herring. Sounds like interesting, Michael. Nachri fries herring, so it's not a Bishul Akum problem because they could have eaten it as is. Let's say the Nachri, though, didn't just fry the Bishul Akum, but he first made a mixture of... The Nachri didn't just fry the herring, he first made a mixture of the herring and flour, and then fried it. He made a kasa de harsana, some sort of kugel, salmon patties, something like that. So the fish is not Bishul Akum sensitive. The flour is, because flour is Eon Echel Chai. Those who are learning Ketz Mavarchim, they think about Daf Lam Vav and Aleph and the Rif. It's not normal to eat the raw flour. Apparently the item, once it's done, this kasta harsan or tasa doesn't necessarily seem so appealing. I have fried breaded herring, but classy salmon patties. So it's all a shulchan lachem. So there, the Gemara says, "Ahav amina that's mutter." Passing, "Ahav amina that's mutter." L'maskana, it's aser. The Gemara explains, I would have thought it's mutter because harsin ikur, maybe the fish is the main ingredient, and the fish, as we said, is not a bishlakim problem because it's dagen katan meluchim, it's very edible, raw because it's salted. Kamash malon, that's asur. Why? Because kimcha ikur. You know, a lot of times the Gemara will have a havi and they'll just say kamash malon. So it's, now you're not always so lucky, the Gemara explains kamash malon because. So this opens up a lot of possibilities. So number one, this is what appears in Sif Beis. After Sif Aleph discussed individual ingredients and whether any individual food item is a bishalakim sensitive or not, as we said, it's only bishalakim sensitive if it's both Einon Echel Chai on the one hand and on the other hand, all the final product is all Shulchan Lachim. Sif Beis already, based on this Gemara we just saw, so there we begin discussing multi-ingredient foods. Very avant-garde to prefer single ingredient foods. But let's say you're gonna eat a multi-ingredient food, so that's what Shulchan Aruch quotes in Sif Beis. Iruv davar nachak mo shulchaim, davar she'en nachak mo shulchaim. The herring is nachal chai, because it's already salted. The flour is not nachal chai. Ubishlam ha'akam, the nachri cooked them together. By the way, why did the Shulchan Aruch, obvious, klas kasha, or why does Shulchan Aruch talk about one ingredient is not just bishlakim sensitive because it's nechal chai? Why not give the other criterion? One of them is ol shulchan lachem. Obviously, you couldn't recognize ol shulchan lachem is a feature of the final product. The final product either is or isn't as a whole, but individual ingredients might be nechal chai and nechal chai. So let's say there's a mix. So shulchan aruch says based on the gemara, me'ikum medaver shu neishpa mishum bishuli akam aser. If not, then not. Yeah, so that's the din of multi-ingredient foods. You have to figure out what the ikkar is. That's what the Rashba says. Aragol points out that the Rashba quotes it in Torah Sabayis. That's the way the Gemara says it. And it's interesting, it's the way the Gemara says it. A curiosity is if you look in the Rif, he does quote this Gemara, but his Talmud, his great-grand Talmud, the Rambam, strangely is mashmet this Gemara lagamri. Not sure why, but if you take a look, you'll see. When you look in Perek Zayin Halacha Tes Zayin, that's where you would expect to find this Gemara, because he quotes the beginning of the Gemara. Dagim Katanim. Motion is bashlu mixes bishul. If they're meluchim, tzala and goy acher kei mutar. But then he never talks to the next point, which is what do you do when you have multi-ingredient foods? Interesting. I'm not sure what the pshat is. I'm not sure what the hashmata sarama means. But if by and large Rishon will quote this, and that is we do assume that this is gemara halacha lamaisa. Then you saw the Rishonim, the Balei HaTosas, start to expand, give other examples of this. The Tosas here in Avodah Zarah, and they tell you at the end to look in Beitza and in Chulin, and look in the Rush here. The Balei HaTosas talk about egg challah. Let's say you have bread or other grain foods that have eggs mixed in. They talk about ublias, which if you took a look at that website I sent you to, that's oublier are waffles. So you have waffles that involve flour and eggs. So the Balei HaTosas say those are not a problem. Not a problem of bishalakum. Why? Because even though eggs, as the Gemara says in Lamech Chesna Beis, and it's quoted at the end of the Siman, if you dial it, that eggs are a bishalakim problem. That's an example going back to the dinim of nechal kemoshu chai. So if you beis and if you dial and if tezav all talk about sort of borderline foods. And you have foods that are nechal kemoshu chai ali de hadchak. Eggs you could swallow raw. You have fruits that are a little bit bitter. If you needed to, you could eat them raw, but they're much tastier when they're cooked. Many Rishonim understand, according to Sifri Beis, if that's only Dagen Ketana Meluchim, which are Mutter, but Dagen Gedola Meluchim, those are really hard to eat unless you also cook them. Just the salting alone is not going to do the trick. So in all these cases, Necha Kamoshe Chai Ayedet Chak is not good enough. Necha Kamoshe Chai Ayedet Chak is not good enough. So if you have it, if the nachri fried an egg or boiled an egg, that could be a problem of bishalakam. But if the egg is mixed into the batter or the egg is mixed into the dough, so since it's a tafel, that's not the ikker. That's not the ikker. So therefore, it is mutter. Our Gemara mentioned the idea of ikker and tafel lahachmir, but the Rishonim point out you can have ikker and tafel lahakel as well. Which Tosos in Chulin points out, that is what the Gemara said. Right? The Gemara, because the Gemara said Lamaskana, the Kasad Harson is Aser because the Iker is a flower. But you could imagine, the Gemara said, but were it to have been the case that the fish is the Iker, would have been Mutter. So you see clearly from the Gemara that that if the Iker is Mutter, so then the whole thing is Mutter. Tosis and Chulin also makes the point that when you talk about Iker and Tafel, Iker and Tafel here is determined the same way Iker and Tafel is determined in the case of Varcha. All the same rules. So just like when you have waffles that have eggs in them, there's still a mazonos or hamotzik. You got to figure out what a Varcha you make, but it's not shahakal. The eggs are not the Iker. So they're not Hilchas Varchas. What do you mean? And Bishlachim Tos is very clear about that. The Rajba is very clear about that. The Rajba quotes this. Tosachul just says it. Rajba quotes it from Rabbeinu Baruch in the Sefer HaTrumah B'Shem Dari. Rabbeinu Baruch is one of the early Balei Tosos. I believe he's one of the Talmidim of Dari. And the Sefer HaTrumah Balei Tosos will quote him every once in a while, especially in Yerideya context. He wrote one of the early Sifrei Halacha of the Balei Tosos. It may have been the first one. It was the Sefer HaTrumah in Rabbeinu Baruch. So the Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Baruch says the name of the Rih, exactly what Tosis and Chulin has also. Our Tosis doesn't talk about that, but Tosis and Chulin does. That you follow whatever you say in Brachas is what you're going to say in Avodah Zarah also, in terms of how you determine Iker and Tafel. Yeah. The Pri Chadash has an interesting discussion. The Mar Gilim, Mar Shah here, the beginning of Simon, gets you thinking about coffee. He sort of leaves you very, it's a real tease. It's the opening Mar Shah. Shtiyas kafe be kafe heiser. Drinking coffee in a coffee house. It's an old minig. The question is it a good minig or a bad minig? And then he quotes the Be'er Esek, or the earlier Achron, that maybe it's Mutter and it's not Mutter. It is Mutter. Be'er Esek thinks it is Mutter. The Gemara Shah says, oh, back in his day, they only had black coffee. But now, we have this new invention called putting milk in coffee. So milk is a whole, we're not up to this, maybe we'll get this later in the year, if anyone's interested. But the Chalav Akum is a whole separate issue, and you have to think about that. Okay. The Gilim Arsha, though, he sort of leaves you hanging because he doesn't address our issue, which is coffee bishalakim or not? Almost no one drinks raw coffee beans. There are coffee addicts out there who do chew on raw. If you can't find any hot water, just take the coffee straight. That is Alpi Pasha, just a great example of Mechal Chaya Adeat Chak. In a hanami, if you eat the raw coffee beans, I don't recommend it for a whole variety of reasons. If you eat raw coffee beans, obviously it's not a bishlakim problem because what's the issue? But let's say you made coffee. The nachri, you have a non-Jewish barista who made coffee for you. So it was neo nachal chai, and now it's potential ol shulchan lacham, a nice coffee. Okay, maybe if it's instant, okay, maybe that's not that. Oh, shulchan lacham, a nice coffee. Certainly, the way the Rambam described it, something you've been chabed a guest with, it's something that would be served at a formal function. So, the question is, why isn't coffee, or is coffee, a bishalakim problem? So the Prichadash and Simen Kuf Yudal, it has a long discussion about this, and just as a bibliographical, and I put in the Mar Makamos, it's a Prichadash in two places. What that means is Prichadash in the early Sfardi Achronim, who comments on Shulchan Aruch, say every once in a while, you're zochet a little snippet of Prichadash in the Gilyon, in the margins. Here you see Kuf Yud Gimel, you have a little bit of Prichadash in the third page of Shulchan Aruch, going to fourth page, then you have some more in Kuf Yud Dalet, bits and pieces here and there. If you look in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, it depends on what edition you have, you see the whole big Prichadash. And he has line by line, sif by sif. I'm not sure what the history is of it, but on the side of the page of Shulchan Aruch, they have occasional select snippets. But the full version you'll find in the back. Every once in a while you get lucky and they put the Prichadash on the side of the page. So in Kuf Yudalit, if you look in the back, I think it's, what was the Sifkat and Vav? But it's the first piece that appears in the margin. Maybe the only piece that appears in the margin of Simen Kuf Yudalit. So he has a long discussion about coffee. Now, just as an aside, we are not in this right now. Simen Kuf Yudalit is based on a Gemara early in the second paragraph that has a different issur of Sheikhar Akam. That there are limitations aside for hesitations one might have in drinking beer in general. If the beer is manufactured by an achri, so it's not cooked, separate issur. That's not Bishul Akam, Sheikhar Akam. There's a separate issur of Sheikhar Akam. You've got to figure out when it applies, when it doesn't apply. Not our issue right now. But that's the opening issue in Simen Kuf Yudal, based on Gemara's and Daf Lamed Aleph in Avodah Zarah. The first three Se'ifim of Kuf Yudal are about that. So the number of Achron want to know, is it Daf Kabir? How about other significant drinks like coffee? Okay. And then the Prichadash says, okay, so he thinks it's not a Sheikh Harakim problem. It is a Sheikh Harakim problem. Leaving that aside, the whole Isra Sheikh Harakim is only if you have it in the Cafe Heiser, as the Marshal said, only if you have it in the Nachri's home or shop. Then he says, forget about where you're drinking it, even if you take it home. So not a Sheikh Harakim problem for sure, but how about Bishul Akam? The Nachri boiled the water, made the coffee, you wouldn't have had it raw. In Nachal Kamoshu Chai. So the Prichadash has two reasons why it should be mutter. He says, it's not a Bishul Akam problem because of Arsif. Why is it because of Arsif? Because he says the Iker is the water. The Iker is the water points as the Beferish Atosis. The Beferish Atosis, but not here. I should put this in my Makom. It's earlier in the Bishul, in the Sheikhar Akam Sugya, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, near the bottom Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Tosis has a discussion about grain-based beer, the type of beer that's common nowadays. But Kufas HaTalmud, most beer is fruit beer. So he discusses, let's say they had to boil it in the course of making it. So does that make it Bishul Akam? So the first Tosis discussion, maybe beer is not so classy, it's not Olah Shulchan Lachim. And then he says, even if it is Olah Shulchan Lachim, I think the Rush quotes the biotosis from Eretz Ha'i, that's England, the island. They apparently, beer was common and has been common in Britain for a very long time, so they had a lot to say about the kashrus of beer. The Tosis says, it's anyways not a Bishul Akam problem, even if beer is a classy drink, because it's bottled to the water. So just like it's bottled here, once again, those who are in Ketzin of Archim, just like it's bottled to the water, Lagabe the Bracha, you may remember Tosis Basha Sisa, Lamed Chesam and Aleph. Tosis wants to know how come beer is Shahakal, not a Mizonos. Kol Sheish Bo Chamesh is Mei Dagan. So Tosis has three Terutz, and the last Terutz they have, they repeat more than once on that Amud, is the drinks are always Shahakal, perhaps because the Iker is always the water. That's what Tosis says here. You know, it's a shahako because it's batal to the water. So just as the ikkar is the water in Hilchos Brachas, in Arachayim, so too the ikkar is the water in Hilchos Bishalakum in Yeraday Achanami, Betele Inyan is servicial. That's the Pricharash says. It's true for beer. It's also going to be true for the Pricharash says, who had the name coffee. He says there's a new thing called Gikutila, chocolate. Chocolate was originally a drink before it was a food. So he says coffee and hot chocolate, cold chocolate, whatever it is, those beverages are all not a bishul akum problem because the ikkar is the water, not the cocoa bean, but the coffee. And water is nachas mo shulchai, obviously. You drink cold water or hot water. So based on the din of kasad arsin, based on sif beis, so that just as Tosa said that waffles are not a bishul akum problem because the eggs are tough to the flour, or dinami coffee and beer and chocolate milk, hot chocolate are not a bishul akum problem because it's the other ingredient, the solid problematic ingredients are bottled to the water to the milk. So that's sif beis. That's sif beis. Yeah, and then Tosfos says, yeah, before we move on, just before we move on to Sif Gimel, which is based on where the Bali Tosfos go next, just two more footnotes about items that came up in this discussion. One is about the Beitzah, and the other one is about Pas. Number one, in terms of Beitzah, I mentioned that the Gemara Lama Chesman Beis talks about Dag Maliach and Beitza, whether they are Bishul Akum sensitive or not. And Shulchan Aruch, the Machlokas Amaram there, discussion Shalom Harapaskin, Halacha Lamaisa, see from Yudalat Hezvav, we assume that Beitza is a problem, and Dag Maliach also, which we assume, again, the Machlokas Shalom, how to read the Gemara, that means that either you have a large fish, Dag Katan Maluchim is not a problem, but Dag Gedol Maluchim, or eggs, those are not called nechachai, they are visual akum sensitive. So just to talk about that a drop more, that's again, that's Tosis is assuming the halacha, that the eggs are a problem. Just to comment on this a little bit, this idea of nechachai alidei hadchak. So that, so talking to Shechter, he assumes, I think it's this assumption that no post can make, when you talk about ayadei adchak, it's a quantitative issue, not a qualitative issue. It's not that everyone would eat it if they were stuck on a desert island, but it means, nechachai adchak practically means some people eat it raw, but the overwhelming majority of people don't. There are people who are glad to have raw eggs, but the vast majority of people are not. Chazanim might have raw eggs for their throats, but the vast majority of people would not have raw eggs, and that's why it's nechal chai only a deit chak, and therefore a problem, not considered to be nechal chai. It doesn't mean that you need to be mutter to be nechal chai. It doesn't have to be that raw people would eat it. I think that's the beferish shach. Sifkat Yutes. But definitely has to be at least like a significant miut. Has to at least be Matsui. The Rosh says in the ninth parak of Hilchos Nida in the context of Maros Haim, Matsui doesn't mean rover like that, but it means it's common enough. It's a miut that's out there, sort of like a miut ha-matsui. So it's probably what we're talking here also. That there's a significant minority of the population, significant minority of the population would eat it. So then already it's mutter. Shachin, siv, cotton. Yeah, you test. Okay, so that's the one footnote. The discussion of Sif Beis is understanding about the Nechal Chai Deit Chak. That is relevant to the sushi discussion. is this nachir grill salmon bizman hazeh, nachir grill tuna bizman hazeh. Is that a bishalakim problem? You could say, look, people eat raw salmon, people eat raw tuna in the form of sushi. So we assume halacha l'maaseh that sushi, that salmon and tuna do pose a bishalakim problem. If a nachir grill salmon or tuna, that is bishalakim problem. I sushi, so shtei tshuvas bedavar. Number one, the percentages might not be high enough. It's worth revisiting it. That's a poskim assumed a while ago. Maybe worth looking at the numbers again. Sushi definitely is out there, but at the same time, number one, across the United States of America, yes, there are restaurants that sell sushi. But what percentage? There is a market for it. There is a market for many things. Especially what percentage of Americans eat sushi? I suspect it's low. Now, again, we said last time that you're Mesha'er, based on the Rambam, that you're Mesha'er Nechav Chai and Ol Shel Chalachim based on the Medina. So the question, Medina means the United States of America, Medina means the city that you're in. The eating habits in New York City, eating habits in San Francisco probably vary from eating habits across the country as a whole. It'll be, if someone wants to look into that and see what the numbers are, it may be that, you know, do 30% of New Yorkers are willing to eat sushi? 30% of San Franciscans are willing to eat sushi? Maybe not. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't Rosh Hashanah usually say that Mia Matzah is
10%? Yeah. So I'm not sure if his mom is the same. It could be it's the same. I was talking with him about this today. So he was using, at least loosely, the number 30. I don't know if that was Dafka or Lav Dafka. He does quote from the... That's absolutely correct. He does quote from the Mishnas Yaakov, the Talmidim of Chaim Yivolozhin, based on the Gemara in the middle of Bava Basra, that Mia Matzah is 10%. So I'm not sure. It could be 10% is enough. I'm not sure. The other point, though, about sushi is that there are very specific grades of salmon and tuna that are used for sushi. You would not just use regular salmon or tuna and serve it raw on sushi. That would not be wise, and that's not done. Only very specific grade, specific subsets of salmon and tuna that are sushi grade. So regular salmon, regular tuna, the tuna steak that the nachir is grilling is probably not sushi grade, and therefore it is definitely not nechal kamo shehu chai. I'll be pashtus, yeah.
But the shach says if you have apples that are hard, then the second answer he gives is you say that you go by the fact that you go by the min, so apples can be eaten raw. So too, can I say if I have fish which is not sushi grade, then I can go by it in general?
Yeah, that is an interesting question.
Or do I say no because there the soft apples are the stuff, but here the bad grade fish is the
stuff. So I'm not sure. Yeah, there are, if you have to, the shakos have put your test. Yeah, then maybe you go based on the... Maybe you should be Koveya Nechal Chai based on the Nim. That is an interesting question. I'm not sure, though, of the following. You got to take a look back at the Isvetter. It talks about Agasim and Tapuch and Hakashim, these hard fruits. We would translate it as apples and pears. Is that like a different subspecies? It's like a particular variety of apple or pear? Or it just means, like, you pick them too early, you pick them too late, and as a result, they're hard, as opposed to like a specific varieties. That's, I'm not sure that's necessarily the parallel.
The fish is a specific variety? The fish here is a specific...
That's a good question. Or is it just raised? I'm not sure. We've got to do some more research. Halacha l'maaseh, we do assume that that salmon and tuna do pose a bishalakim problem. We discussed so far this Gemara, reviewed a little bit of Sif Aleph, Nechal Kmo Shechal Shechal Lachim, and looked at this Gemara, this next Gemara of Kasa D'Harsana, that with a multi-ingredient food, you go Basa the Iker, as Rishon pointed out, Bein Lahachmer, as the Gemara says, and Bein Lahakel, and that's why the waffles and the egg challah, and coffee, hot chocolate, and so forth, all these foods that are a blend of different ingredients, so the Iker is mutter, so then we're matir. And then we said there are two, before we get to Sif Gimel, which is also the next step in the Balei Tosfos, two more points about this Sif Beis. One was we just spoke about eggs, and generally the question of Nechal Kmo Shruchai Adi Adchak, Seifim Yud Beis Yud Dal Tazvav. Nechachai De Yadchak is a Bishalachim problem. That's not called Nechachai. The other point is the bread issue. Just to explain a little bit, Tosas Urei starts, well, we'll get to another bread case in a moment, but the first bread case, that the case that our Tosas raises here in Avodah Zarah, I have these ublia, these waffles, or as other Rishonim just talk about, pas beitzim. I have a bread that has eggs in it, like egg challah. It's not a problem of bishalakim because kimcha ikar. That's odd because our Gemara said kimcha ikar is a reason lachmir. Since it comes to harsin, kimcha ikar, so kemach is not nechachai, and therefore it's a bishalakim problem. So all of a sudden here everything is upside down. Kimcha ikar is a reason lahako. So why is that? The other Tosas and explain a little more. The Pri Chadash explains it beautifully. It's really based on the Mishnah here, Lamed Hey. There are two different Isurim, and this very goes back also to the first Tosas on Bishalakim, and that's Dimas, the last Tosas in Lamed Zayin Beis. The Mishnah had mentioned, the Mishnah is where this is all rooted in Lamed Hey and Beis, Mishnah had mentioned in its list of Machalei Akum that are problematic, two separate items were Pasakum and Shlokos, Bishalakum. They're both Aser, they have somewhat different rules. Here, Simi Kuf Yud Gimel that we're focused on is about Bishalakum, Shlokos, as the Mishnah puts it. Pasakum is Simi Kuf Yud Beis. So apparently, any given food is either going to be Bishal or Pas, but it's not both. In Pas Akum, we have significant kulas. To make a long story short, the Gemara, in discussing Pas Akum and Lamed Hey and Beis already, seems like the Amoraim were handling about, is Pas really Aser, is Pas really Mutter? The Mishnah says Aser, maybe it's Mutter, maybe it's Mutter in this case, Mutter in that case. You get this by the time you get to the through the Gaon and Rishon and Shulchan Aruch. So the way it lands is as follows. There was a position Gaonim that many Rishonim, particularly Ashkenazi Rishonim, were open to accepting, and that is the position of the Ramah and Simen Kuf Yud Beis and Pas Akum, that the Halacha Lamais, the whole issue of Pas Akum is only when it's Pas Baal HaBayis. You have a non-Jew made bread in his own kitchen, or maybe in your kitchen, but made homemade bread. Homemade bread that was made personally, so that's where you have the maximum concern of chasnas. He made it for you, or he made it for him, for his own family, he's sharing it with you. When it's personally made bread, so that's when pas baal batim, someone made bread for his own family, someone made bread for your family, that's when it's a pas akum problem. However, pas palter, when it's commercially made, you have a baker, a palter. He's baking bread for the whole city, baking bread for 100 customers, for 1,000 customers. You're one of 500 customers he's baking bread for. There's a far reduced concern of chasnas. Not something intimate and personal. He's sharing the bread that he made for his own family, or he made bread as a gift for you. He's a baker. He makes for everyone in town. He's willing to sell to whoever wants to buy. So there's far less of a concern of chasnas. So the Ramah accepts that view in Gaonim and Rishonim that Pas Palter is Mutter, Pas Palter is not Pas Hakam. The whole issue of Pas Hakam is only Pas Baalei Batim. So that you saw references to here. That, in the way the Rishonim are saying, those who are not concerned, those of Misha Eunizer with Pas Hakam, what that means is, Lahalacha, that's Pas Palter. Those who are Mekel, that Pas Palter is Mutter. Those who are Mekel, like that position in Gaonim and Ashkenaz Rishonim and the Ramah, in Kuf Yud Beis, that Pas Palter is not what Chazal had in mind, not what we assume is included in Pas Akum. If you eat supermarket bread, if you eat supermarket cookies, you are following that Ramah. It's Pas Palter, therefore Mutter. We do not have a Kula of Bishal Palter. If we had a Kula of Bishal Palter, if Bishal Akum only applied in a homemade setting, then Bishal Akum would never be an issue in the restaurant. We do not have a kula of Bishal Palter. That's an example, I think we discussed, as Matt discussed this last time, that the Rishon, Tosarash, and others point out that not all Machali Akum are created alike. Yein Akum is Aser, and Pas Akum is Aser, and Bishal Akum is Aser, all because of Chasnus, but some have a greater concern of Chasnus than others, and that's why some have more coolness and some have fewer coolness. Yein Akum is a very, very great concern of Chasnus. You're going to drink wine with an Achri, you're really asking for trouble. Eating food with an Achri, less of a concern. Still, obviously, people socialize over food, but not as much of a concern as drinking wine together. Pas, even less so. So that's why Yein Akum has the most chumras, is mutter in the least number of cases. Bishal already has more coolness, and Pas even more so. Here's an example. Bishal Palter is Aser, Pas Palter is mutter. And that's the background for this Tosus. He says that you have this bread or this waffle made with flour and egg. So since the egg is tafel, so therefore it's mutter. Why kimcha ikar? Therefore it's mutter. But our Gemara said that the kasa, the harsin, the salmon patties, are usr, or the breaded fried herring is usr. Because Kimcha Iker, it's Mezainus, and therefore it's a problem. What I mean is Kimcha Iker a reason Lahakar, a reason Lahachmer? So we're Rishon already assuming that the Pri Chadash lays it out with great clarity back in Simon Kufyud Beis. Interesting, this din sort of appears in Kufyud Gimel, but it also appears in Kufyud Beis in the context of Pasachim. The Pri Chadash lays out very beautifully there. The Magen Avraham already has the Beis Yosef has a discussion here in Kufyud Gimel. He quotes the Tashbeitz, one of the late Rishonim. You have Twizzlers, something like that, where you have honey and sugar, honey and flour, it's mixed together. You have to figure out Zik, or the flour, Zik, or the honey. Pri Chadash quotes that, what the Beis Yosef quotes, and he discusses it further. He says, let me lay it out clearly. He says, he doesn't quite line them up, but let me line up for you what the Pri Chadash says. There are three categories. The two extremes are mutter. The middle case is aser. If it's bread, so then it's not a Bishal Akum problem, because it's pas. And if it's pas, it's not Bishal. If Tosis is ready, point out Lama Zayin base. You have to decide, is it a given item pas or Bishal? And as the Balei Tosis point out here, that is, just as with Iker and Tafel, so too, Shame Pas corresponds to Shame Pas in Ketz Mevarchim. Ketz Mevarchim handles something pas or not for Hamotzi. So if it's pas for Hamotzi, then it's also pas for Machal Yakum. We call it pas rather than Bishal, and therefore the Kula of Palter applies. Tosis and Beitza has a skirmish about that, but there's sort of a sub-machlok. It has to do with, like, let's say it's quasi-pas, it's pas above a kisner. So that's what Tosis and Beitza seems to be debating. It's pas above a kisner. You only make hamotzi if you kovei asuda, your cookies. So are cookies also pas, or are cookies bishal? We assume the cookies are also pas. Pas above a kisner is pas min ha-Torah, in terms of frasha schala. Pas, the whole differentiation between snack bread and meal bread, between pas babakis and pas gamor, that's only a chiluk midrabanan with respect to brachas. But the shame lechem daraisa applies equally whether it's a snack bread, a pas babakis, or a meal bread, a pas gamor. So that's what we assume, like that day in Taisvis, that pas and pas babakis are both. Not only are both lechem with respect to hafrashos challah, both lechem that at least if you're kaveh asuda you make hamotzi, but also both lechem with respect to its falls in the category of pas rather than bishul, and therefore if it's made by a palter, the kula of pas palter applies. Okay, see if you have, that's what Tosis said. That's what Tosis said here in Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and in the two other places they sent you to, Beitza and Chulin. That even though they also, you have egg challahs, they added other ingredients, they added eggs. Eggs alone are a Bishal Akum problem, but here, since it's bread, kimcha ikar and kimcha ikar. the main part is the grain part, and here it's a pas. So since the ikar is pas rather than eggs, so it's mutter. Why? Because it's pas. And therefore, a pas palter is mutter. Oh. On the other extreme, let's say the main part is the fish. The havmi of the Gemara. You have a dish where they add a little bit of flour, l'dabuki bialmo, but the main part is the fish. So then it's also not a bishlakim problem if the fish is not bishlakim sensitive. Or as the Tashbeis discussed, you have some sort of candy where the ikar is the honey, and they're adding the flour just a tough lid to hold it together. But the ikar is the honey. Honey is not bishlakim sensitive, and therefore the whole thing is mutter. The case where it is a problem is the middle case. Our Gemara had said that it's a problem called kimcha ikar. Kimcha flour is a bishlakim problem, meaning on the one hand the kemach, there's enough kemach for the kemach for the ikar. On the other hand, it's not a pas. There's no tohar lechem. Oh, this isn't bread. This is some other sort of tafsha. What bracha do you make on these salmon patties? Even if there's enough flour that the kemach is ikar, you make a mizonos, you don't make a hamotzi. Even if you have 27 patties, you may get a stomachache, but you don't make a hamotzi. No kviya suda on this. I mean, even if you're kaveya suda on it, it's not pas. It's just like if you have seven bowls of hot oatmeal. That's definitely kviya suda, but you hilchos brachos, you still make a mizonos. Why? Because it's not bread. It's a Michael dagan. It's made with dagan, but it's not a bread. It's tafshil, so you make mizonos. So who then? You wouldn't be mafresh challah. You make a cauldron. You're the cooking camp. You're making enough hot oatmeal for 300 people. That's way more than a sheer challah. But he's not mafresh challah. Why? Because it's not lechem. It involves dagan. You make a mizonos. It's not lechem. You make a mizonos. Not lechem. You're mafresh challah. You're not mafresh challah. And it's not lechem. And therefore, it's bishul rather than pas. So if a nachri makes a big pot or a small pot of hot oatmeal, assuming that's all shulchan lachin, that's a bishul lachin problem because it's not pas, it's bishul. So if it wasn't something, it wasn't edible raw, and now if it is all shulchan lachin, you got to figure out. So then it's not a bishul lachin problem. If it's pas, so then it's mutter because it's pas rather than bishul. But if it's a tavshil, so then if the ikar is a kamach, it's a problem. If the ikar is not, if the solo kamach, that the ikar is a duvsha, so then it's mutter. Those are the three categories. Kimcha ikar and it's pas, it's mutter. Kimcha ikar and it's a tavshil, is aser. Not kimcha ikar, instead the ikar is the other ingredient which is not bishlakim sensitive, then it's once again mutter. Those are the three categories. The way the pre-charge lays it out, again, only the middle category, which is corresponds to our Gemara, the Kasa D'Arsna, is the problem. That's why, again, the Gemara had said Kimcha Iker, and therefore Kasa D'Arsna is Aser. Tosa had said the Pas Beitzim Kimcha Iker, and therefore it's Mutter, because it's a bread, and therefore it's Pas. Okay, so again, that's our Sugi of Kasa D'Arsna. That's the Beis, the multi-ingredient food. You follow the Iker, and then we had two important side points. One was the question of a beitzim and davar nechal kmo shulchai de'etchak, seifin yudbeiz yudalad tazvav. And the other was this issue of understanding what pas is all about. Again, that's discussed in the tour earlier in Kuf Yudbeiz, seifin aleph and vav, and the Shulchan Aruch earlier in Kuf Yudbeiz, seifin vav. That's what that pre-chadash lays out beautifully there. Okay. Yeah, question.
Are there varying levels of chumrah by wine and bread and bishul? Is it only based on how the chumrah passes, or also this and so forth?
That's a good question. That's a good point, right? If we get to Pasach, I'm not sure we're heading that direction. There is some discussion. The Gemara does say that maybe we're also more mekalim. The Chazal may have built in more kulis because it's, at least used to be, in earlier centuries, it was a main staple in terms of people's nutrition. Yeah, so that may be a part of it also. Bear in mind, though, that yayin also was much more of a staple in terms of people's hydration. Perhaps in part because you get the impression that people drink a lot more wine, a lot less water than is the case nowadays. I'm not sure historically to what extent that was because drinking straight water often you had a concern of infection, dysentery, typhus, whatever. And if you, the way they drank wine, it was pretty. It was basically water that was spiked with a little bit of alcohol. It may have been to kill the germs. So wine was also a significant sorach, and still where we have. Yain Akum is much more chamber than Pas Akum and Bishl Akum. It may be a combination of both, which is often the case with Din Drabanan. Chazal trying to figure out, they're balancing multiple design principles. You're thinking about what the tzorech is that's driving, what's the chashash that's the rationale for the gzeira, trying to counterbalance it against other tzorachim that people have, especially since if the gzera is not miskabel, if it's not nispash rov yisrael, it's not gonna be valid. And then the third issue is the kol tikkun ban kein d'oraisa tikkun, so the other external design principles. Yeah, that is true. Okay, now let's just turn our attention in the remaining minutes to the extension that Tosas here in Avodah Zarah doesn't have, but Tosas in Chulin and Beitza do have. You'll find it here in Avodah Zarah, not in Tosas, but in Hagos Ashri. On the side of the Rosh, in the Chavtas, he quotes B'Shem the Or Zarua, one of the early German Achronim, German Rishonim, excuse me. And that is, let's say you have, you saw different terms that different Rishonim use, either Pashtida or Pastez, or Panada. Pashtida and Pastez are probably Germanic words. If you follow those links that I sent, you see pasties and pastis or tuna and things like that, related loosely etymologically to the word pasta. And panada is empanada. You may have I noted, if you look in the Wikipedia page on empanada, they actually reference the tour as being the earliest source they could find for the term panada, empanada, which is fascinating. They should have mentioned that by pasty also. Also, much earlier than any other sources they had. It's even before the tour. There, whoever was writing whoever was editing the Wikipedia is a work in progress at best. Right, the tour is good. Tour is in the 1300s, but he's quoting earlier Rishonim before. But hey, if you trace it, you'll see the Sephardi Rishonim used the word panada like the Rajba because they were speaking Spanish, either Spanish or Arabic, depending on whether you lived in northern Spain or southern Spain, and. And the Baliatosis are using the word Pashtido or Pastez because they were speaking German or French. But whatever you call it, that's an interesting historical sidebar. Whatever you call it, but the Rishonim point out that those foods, whatever you call them, they are calzones or knishes or whatever we might call them. It's a dough wrapped around a core of fish or meat or whatever else is going on in the middle. So there the Rishonim, there the Baliatosis say that's not mutter. If you have the egg challah, so we say the bread is the ikker, the eggs are the tafel, as you know from Hilchos Brachos, mutter. But if you have dough wrapped around fish or meat, even though the bracha may well be hamotzi or mizonos, but still it's a problem. Now, why is that? So as an aside, the approach that we don't seem to accept lahalacha, that doesn't get quoted much, you look in the Ritva, he says, we don't care about the shem ha-ochel, we care about the ikar ha-ochel. The ikar ha-ochel is the filling, which is interesting, but does not seem to be quoted much. It's not the way the Baliatosis say it.
There's a guess everything you said earlier that
the Ikar falls to Brachos, right? Exactly. It's absolutely true. It does not seem to correspond to Hilchos Brachos. And it should be noted that the Ritva's Rebbe, the Rajbo, uses similar language, but he uses it in the context of Sif Beis, in the context of the egg bread, where Ataka is. The Ikar is the bread and not the eggs. So it's worth noting that Ritva, but Halacha Lamaisa, we seem to follow the approach of the Baliatosis, Hagos Ashri, and Tosis and Chulin, and the And Tosas and Beitza, that that the reason why it's usser there is because, why don't we say that the ikar is a dough, not the fish? The answer is, by a Tosas say, because the whole ikar, they seem to be implying anyhow, the whole ikar and tafel is only when the foods, ingredients were already blended before the cooking. Like the ekhal, you had a dough made out of flour and eggs and whatever else, and then you bake the whole thing. So when it's already blended and then you cook it, so if it's already blended, then you follow the ikar and you ignore the tafel. Masha ain't okay when you have a calzone. From a Hilchos Brachos standpoint, we still talk about ikar and tafel. I would point you to the Rambam. The Rambam already has this nusach, and the Tur quotes it from the Rosh. The Rambam already had a couple of generations earlier. Rambam has a nusach in Paragimel Hilchos Brachos, and he talks about ikar and tafel in a Hilchos Brachos context. He says there's a tafel hamu'uruv, the tafel she'ina mu'uruv. And so you have, they're all blended together, and sometimes not. Here we mean blended together even more so. Not just they're you're eating them b'tarovet, but you mean they're mamish blended together. There's no separate be'en. It's just one dough. But the balaitosis say, but if you have a calzone, you have a knish, it's true that you might make a mezonos or hamotzi on this, but that's enough of an intertwining to have the ikar tafel and hilchos brachos, but it's not enough of an intertwining to have ikar and tafel in hilchos bishalakam. Hilchos bishalakam only if it's mamish blended together before you even cooked it. But if you still have a be'en, I could point to that piece of fish. So then the dough is mutter because that's pas, and therefore it's pas, not bishal at all, it's pas palter. But the fish is a problem. There's no heter of bishal palter. The fish is a problem. And then Tosa goes on to say, and not only is the filling not mutter based on ikar and tafel, it even then, step two, is the dough becomes asur also, because as it continues to bake, once the fish gets to the point where it's baked, cooked enough, that's bishul akum, and then it continues to bake. So now now that the fish became treif, it even leaches flavor into the dough. So the dough is also going to be treif because it was boleya, tam ke'ikar, it was boleya, the flavor of the treif of fish. And that's what appears in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel. Panada, shafo akum. Aser, I feel me shenoyeg heter pas shel akum. The mechaber holds in seven kufiyud beis pas palter is aser. Is even if you're a Ramonic and you hold the pas palter is mutter, that's only if the nachri baked bread. But if the nachri baked a panada, he baked a calzone. So then even the dough is aser. What? Ni shashuma nesek reshuba en mishumba bishel akum. This filling is a problem it's not tafel in a bishul akum sense because it's be'en. It's sitting there separately, and then subsequently nivla b'pas. And it's the same thing. Yirakos nachalim chayim. You have vegetables. We said some certain vegetables have bishul akum problem because they're like potatoes, eggplants are not nachal chayim. Let's say you have broccoli. People eat raw broccoli. Also, serving crudités. If I make beef and broccoli, bishlam and basar. Shulchan Aruch apparently had access to a menu in a Chinese restaurant. You have beef and broccoli. See, even the broccoli is treif because shuman shabbos are nivel b'hem. Now, if you look in Tosfos, this is how we pass me. If you look in Tosfos in Beitza, they have a machlokas about this. They say the word balya Tosfos, and you'll find it in the Torah Beis Yosef also. The word biotosis was said, well, scrape out the filling and scrape away any grease on the surface, and you can at least eat the dough. We don't paskin like that. Why? So that machlokas is about the following. Because to say that the whole, there are two steps to the logic here. The first chiddush in Tosfos is that the idea of ikar and tafel the Gemara has is only when they're not be'en. Once they're be'en, we ikar and tafel hilchos brachos, even if the two pieces are be'en. There's no ikar and tafel hilchos bishul akum once it's been. That's step number one that all the Balei Tosfos accept. But then the question is, That just tells you that the filling is a problem. The question is, should I then say that the dough is a problem too? So that's based on the assumption that, a second assumption, and that is the apparent subject to debate among the Bayatosis, and that is, do I apply Tam Ke'ikar or Bishalakam? The fish itself is treif, Bishalakam. Okay, but then some of the fish flavor got into the dough. Does that make the dough treif? So normally, in the world of Machalos Asuras, we assume there's a principle of Tam Ke'ikar, probably Daraisa, according to the most Rishonim. And it's true, obviously only Daraisa by Machalos Asuras Daraisa, but we do apply Tam Ke'ikar even by Machalos Asuras Rabbanam. But there is, here we're already seeing the beginning, the hint, the first hint of a Machalokas Arishonim is Bishal Akam significantly different than most Machalos Asuras. Here we're already seeing the Tosas and Beitza, a Shita that's not accepted, at least not here in Sif Gimel, that there were Rishonim who thought the fish filling is asr, but the dough is mutter, because we don't say Tam Ke'ikar by Bishal Akam. But we don't accept that, certainly not here in Sif Gimel. We assume that it's that's not a problem. The Gra actually in Sif Ches points out, why do we give two examples? The panada and then the beef and broccoli. It says, because by the beef and broccoli, he says, you pull out a piece of broccoli, all you have is broccoli. There's no layer of gook. I mean, so the Gra assumes, I guess there are different recipes for beef and broccoli out there, but the Gra is assuming when you have these irakas, so you pull out a piece of vegetable, it doesn't have any gook on the surface, but it's nivla in. Even that belia with no be'en on the surface is going to be a problem. Let me just wrap this together with the following case. If Bayes was about coffee, where you had the multiple ingredients that were blended together, Sif Gimel is about eggplant pizza. Right? Plain cheese pizza is not a Bishal Akam problem. The dough is bas. The cheese is Nechal Kamo Shuchai. Tomatoes are also Nechal Kamo Shuchai. In any case, the tomato sauce was probably cooked by someone else before. So everything is fine. Everything is Nechal. Even if they're making tomato sauce here, everything is Nechal Kamo Shuchai or is bas. Plain cheese pizza is not a Bishal Akam problem. As long as your ingredients and your kalim are kosher, you don't need a nachri, you don't need a jute to turn on the fire. That's true if you don't have toppings. But if you have eggplant pizza, so eggplant is not nachot moshuchai, assuming that this is all shulchan lachem, which you got to think about, but assuming it's all shulchan lachem, eggplant pizza is a Bishal Akam problem. Why? Because the eggplant isn't blended. And if you had the eggplant was blended into the dough, the eggplant was pureed into the tomato sauce, something like that, then you have to figure out, okay, the ikkar is the tomatoes, it's not a problem, the ikkar is the pasta, it's not a problem. But you don't have it blended in. There are chunks of eggplant sitting on top. So number one, the eggplant becomes treif. Once as it bakes, the eggplant becomes treif, Bishal Akam. And then it leaches flavor as it continues to bake into the rest of the pizza. So we assume that then the whole thing becomes treif. So Sif Beis is where it's blended, and Sif Gimel is where it's not blended. When it's blended, you apply Ikar and Tafel. Again, aligned with Ikar and Tafel and Hilchos Brachos. But once it's not blended, so then Ikar and Tafel is not relevant, and therefore that one ingredient, that one item, that is Bishal Akam sense, will become treif, and we assume will even thereby consequently make everything else treif as well, based on Tam Ke'ikar. That last point, but Tam Ke'ikar, as I mentioned, is a machlokas already here in Tosfos and Beitza. We assume in Sif Gimel lahachmir, Tam Ke'ikar does apply. It is going to come up again, the very end of the siman. It's an interesting question about kalim. You had a Bishal Akam accident in the kitchen, so do I have to kasher the kalim? It's also the beginning of a larger issue that we're going to begin to come to in Sif Dalet. Why would Bishal Akam be different? That's an interesting machlokas Rashba Ra'ah about the nature of Bishal Akam that we are going to continue with Mitzvah next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would schnitzel depend on what's properly
made? No, because it's what's it called? Oh,
And if you say it's mizonos, yeah, then you're then you seemingly are assuming that.
No,
yeah, but it's either with both pieces, both elements are be'en.
Also, both are usher anyway.
The breading, that's interesting. Practically speaking, breading is usually pre-baked. But you're saying, let's say I had like a batter. Because I have raw dough or raw batter. And now you're frying everything.
But the whole thing together is cool.
So usually both the raw chicken and the raw batter are problematic.
Right.
But let's say you had battered salted herring. Let's say the inside, let's say is a corn, whatever. Yeah. One point that's worth making, I think, is that some of the Rishonim talk about the bread. They even talk about there's a layer of, you brushed it with egg. It's tuach al panav. I believe the Rishonim assume even that is not a problem, because even though there is a layer that's the end, but it's so insignificant that it's totally tafel. If the schnitzel, the main part of the schnitzel is not a bishlachim problem. Let's say I have salted, pre-salted fish, or let's say I have a piece of chicken that's already cooked, and now I'm repurposing leftovers by, and I'm going to take the cooked chicken, and the nachri is going to refry it with the breading to sort of freshen it up. So the fish itself, the chicken itself is not a bishlachim problem because it's already cooked. But he put on fresh batter on the outside. So I think based on that line of Tosfos, you assume if it's such a thin layer that's mamish and significant, that's like the Beitzim Tuach HaPanav, then I think it would be mutter.